Good morning. It's Friday, January 14th, 2022, and this is a budget hearing for the sheriff's budget for fiscal 23. I'm Linda Merkin, Stroud County Supervisor. We also have in the room Lisa Heddens, Stroud County Supervisor, on conference call, Latifa Faisal, Stroud County Supervisor, and staff. We have Lucy Martin as County Auditor, Lisa Markley, Assistant County Auditor, the Sheriff, Paul Fitzgerald, Connie Torsdorf in the Sheriff's Office. We also have several other people from the Sheriff's Office. And rather than go through everybody's name, it's just if you do come forward and talk during it, I'd ask you to identify yourself then. That's okay. Did I miss anybody? And I'm sorry, Lucy's an elected official. I said staff, that was a misnomer. I apologize.
I don't know who else is on the phone.
Is there anybody else on the phone besides Latifa?
I've never met my command staff on the phone.
Super.
Command staff, you want them to identify themselves?
Well, how about just, because there's several here too, how about just if, in case they are talking at
those
some point.
Those of you on the phone, if you're asked to speak on a certain specific item, please give your name, rank, and
yes. Otherwise, if we go through all of that, that takes a few minutes away from, I know, the information you want to give us. So why don't we just do it that way? And is there anything else before we start?
Okay.
Linda, did you want?
Go ahead, Latifa.
It's a list. I don't know if you want to know who else is on the phone.
I just said that if anybody else, because there's several people there's
okay.
Several people here. What I stated was that if they are presenting any information, I ask that they identify themselves then. The sheriff's staff. But is there anybody besides sheriff's staff on the phone?
Sandra King.
Sandra. Okay. Sandra King, Director of External Operations, and Alyssa Wignall, Director of Internal Operations. Anybody else? Okay. Then, Sheriff, I'd like you to...
Linda?
Yes?
I'm sorry. This is Latifa. If I could ask everybody to just speak up, that would be helpful, because it seems like the... even though you've got your mics on, it's still hard to hear on the conference call when anyone away from the backbone is talking.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, I pulled the speaker closer.
My apologies for not being there in person today.
That's quite all right. That's quite all right. Okay, go ahead, Sheriff.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to remind the board, for 30 years I've had a chronic cough, so if I cough, then I'm feeling perfect, no symptoms, so it's all well. Anyway, unless the board chooses differently, I'll remove my mask while I talk. Anyway, my opening statement is going to be brief. And then I'm going to ask Connie to summarize some of the things that the board is going to be seeing and why there may be such, from a quick overview, such an increase in our budget. First of all, we have brought a proposal for additional personnel that we're asking for additional personnel. And also, we're going to be addressing, or hope to be addressing, shower floor replacement in the jail. And then last but not least, last year we brought up, eventually, not this year, we have put it in the budget, but what you notice we've redlined it, and that's a jail transport van that needs to be, that's needing to be replaced. I don't know if it's next fiscal year or the following, but that will be one of the things that will come forth. And that's at this time. We're anticipating about $74,000 for the replacement of that van. But not knowing where inflation and price increases are going, that we'll have that conversation later. So with that, I would like to ask Connie to kind of give a summation of the overall projection of our budget.
I gave you both a sheet. Sorry, Latifa, I had one for you, but you're not here. And I wanted to give you an idea of what our increase was for just services that we have no control over. So I gave you a list. I included fuel because we went from $2.50 a gallon this fiscal year budgeted to $3 for this next fiscal year, which using the same gallons is almost $34,000 increase in that itself. Every year the jail medical contract always goes up 2%. We received an email from IT that the phones will be going up 5%. Meals have gone up. The second sheet I gave you is a rundown of different products that have gone up in price to solidify that. And then, so this just get, I don't need to run down everything. So the total services increase that we do not have control of is a total of $106,597 that you will see reflected in our budget. Also, for the CIP, we had two items on the CIP for this next fiscal year, and that was rain work in the value of $90,000. That is to include tiling around the building. I believe you've all been out there, and in a rainstorm, the water runs through the building. There's tiling issues that need to be done at the bottom of the range by the berm. I believe there's not flooding, but it gets soupy down there. And they wanted to do, Captain Lenny wanted to do lighting down there, an intercom system, so this is what the $90,000 would entail. And then also in the CIP plan, there was the update of the computer systems for the patrol vehicles at $175,000. So if we take out all those figures, the increase we're requesting is only $72,707. When you look at the total, and this is why I wanted to bring it to your attention, because I didn't want you to think we were coming in with this 29% increase. I wanted to explain what that 29% increase was, especially since two of those big ticket items were in the CIP plan.
But you have big ticket items in every fiscal year.
Yes, but those...
And some of them are one time.
Right, and I consider the CIP plan to be over and above what a big ticket item would be, because it's the county knows about projects such as facilities with the showers in the jail. That's in the facilities budget. However, if we have to house inmates elsewhere, that we did not put that in our budget this year. So I just wanted to give a rundown of that.
Okay, as long as you acknowledge my point, too.
Yes. And
so if there's an increase, it's not like there were, you know, you take these, I mean, it's hard to do an apples to apples comparison.
Yes.
Unless you've got every single line item and say, well, okay, there were some big ticket items in next year's, there were some big ticket items in this year's.
Right, exactly. I just wanted to give you a thing that there were certain items that we literally have no control over, and that is the service increases that have happened and inflation.
Certainly, and the big ticket items, they were ones that I had marked.
Yes.
So this was... Yeah.
Perfect. And I figured when we go into the lines, we can get more into that.
Sure.
But this is just a brief overview.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have.
Okay. Lisa, did anybody else have any questions for Connie?
I don't initially on this. Linda, I think you asked the questions I was going to have. So.
Okay. Latifah, did you have any questions?
Yeah, would someone be able to just take those handouts and scan them to me?
Yeah,
Latifah, if you look at your phone, I sent them to you on a text message. You should have them on your phone.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Help you be prepared.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It'd be better, easier for you to see to scan and email. I'm sure that could be arranged as well.
No, this is perfect. Thank you, Sheriff.
You're
welcome. I don't have any questions.
Okay. Sheriff, would you like to run us through your budget request then, or Connie?
We certainly can. In past years, we basically went by the board's questions that they have. We have... if you'd like to start off with revenues.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly
yes.
Do that. Connie, you want to lead the way on that?
Sure. One big change we have is the weapon permits. You'll see that there is a decrease in
Which number is that?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's page 146, 4410. It's the first one listed on page 146. And July 1 of 2021, the law changed where a permit is no longer required, and that is why we've seen a significant decrease in that. And then on the same page, 146, number 8480 for fuel tax refunds. I just applied for our final refund of the year, so we can actually change that number to 15,000 for the re-estimate instead of 15,230. do you have any questions on any of the other line items?
Care of prisoners. Wait. No. I'm sorry.
The care and keep of prisoners. Mm-hmm. We were hoping with COVID that starting in January of this year, January 22, that we would start housing more inmates. Mm-hmm. With COVID obviously not decreasing, we are hoping maybe in July to have that start picking up again. Sheriff mm-hmm. Fitzgerald did house earlier in this fiscal year some Polk County, because Polk County was in dire straits, so we accepted them, and then we had COVID in our jail. So the sheriff has decided to be more particular.
It was an issue of back to our original standing that only certain, not everybody that has a warranty in jail at this time. So we're monitoring that. Last year it was state fair time. Polk County was trying to prepare a room for their inmates for the state fair. So we took a certain number of prisoners and stipulations. They had to be monitored and tested for COVID. They were negative at that time. We accepted a number of them. They came up here, and then we had a couple that tested positive for COVID. Okay. So we got them out of jail as soon as possible, but we already had a little bit of infection. So we worked on that, got that out of there. Right now, we're putting COVID in the jail. We've hands off to the jail staff, Commander Austin, Center Jail staff. We're diligently wearing masks, making sure services are clean multiple times a day, and it's had some very positive, effective results throughout the jail.
Thank you. That's good work. What's your occupancy right now?
Pardon me?
What's your jail occupancy right now?
This morning, we had 47 inmates. We had two females and 45 males.
Is that about what you've been running?
With the COVID, that has been about it. Early on in the COVID, we went down into the 20s. But when we relaxed that and we started taking more arrests because of the backlog that was being created, we're trying to get through that. We're now averaging right now basically about around 45 to 50 inmates on a daily population.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions on revenues?
I don't have any additional questions.
I just want to say, it sounds like the phone system is having issues. They've lost connection remotely as well as throughout the building.
So. Yeah, Latifa says to call with this here.
Could you try it again, Sheriff? So you've got the number there. Could you?
There's a little snow on the ground.
Shows here that it's connected. Do I need to hang up right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Stand by. This may be a lot.
Clown show. Is that what we call it? Clown show?
Might be mean to clowns at this point.
Oh, well,
true. Well, I keep getting out of bed.
Yeah, Barb just texted.
Phone system's down in Nevada?
Maybe? She goes, good morning. We are currently experiencing phone issues. You may notice a triangle in the upper right portion of the phone viewing screen. We are working with the vendor to investigate this issue. This could be a fiber cut or weather-related if the connection to Des Moines is down. There is no ETA on resolution at this time. However, your computers and POTS line should remain operational.
Did you have any other adjustments for revenues?
I didn't. Okay. No, they look good.
Do we have Latisha's cell phone?
I'm texting her right now.
Put her on.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
Let me just call her. That's a good idea.
Sometimes it's just easier to call.
Yeah, it is.
Our phone. I'm going to put a cell phone. So the people can hear you.
Yeah.
Can I get a Zoom? Can I just do a Zoom so that I can hear?
I told them
the Zoom would take me a little bit.
How long? Here. About 5 minutes?
Yeah, but I can put the conference, I can get the Zoom in so you can continue.
Okay.
I'll work on the Zoom.
Should we use my phone?
You can use yours, that's fine.
I'll get her, because that way you can.
I'll have
yours available.
Since we have internet, we just want to call.
Can you include include my
I'll send the link out. Fantastic.
Hey, I'm going to put you on speaker. I think we got, yeah, I think the wires are cut. Cable's cut. So this is working on getting a Zoom set up for the other people. But we're going to just go ahead right now, and I'll put you on speaker, and hopefully you can hear. Okay, sure. Okay, we have Supervisor Faisal on speaker. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay, good. So we'll continue while Alyssa Wignall is working on getting us a Zoom connection for some other people. But we need to. We've got a big budget here, so we need to keep moving. Okay. Any other questions on the revenues?
I do not.
Okay, hearing no other questions on the revenues, let's head on then to, I suppose we're going to page 152 is where I would be in the packet if you want to talk about the personnel request and then get into expenses, just because that's how
that's
it's
up to you.
Well, why don't we, that's because that's how everything's in order, and it's easier if we just do the pages in order. It's just for me. That's all right.
Okay, we are ready to begin at 152?
Yes.
We've asked for an addition of four personnel. I think it was 3 years ago, pre-COVID, we had come to the board of supervisors with a request for four personnel at that time. At that budget hearing, it was decided by the board to approve one position. And then COVID set in, and that was set back for a while. I came back in and asked the board to approve the position without hiring that position until the board gave the go-ahead, because it's much easier if we have the numbers on the books and try to fill them later instead of trying to go through the entire process of increasing the numbers of the staff. The board approved that. We waited. The county appeared to be in good shape. The board at that time gave authorization to move ahead with that additional hire, and we did so. So now we come back to the board, not with three, but we ask for four more positions to be authorized. There are various reasons why we are asking for this. The board has been involved with the YSS situation and building a campus outside of the city limits of Cambridge. We've taken on a new contract town in Shelville, which is in three counties, Story, Polk, and Boone. And we are the sole law enforcement agency for the city of Shelville through 2018 contractual agreement. We also began a couple of years ago a project called P3 Campus. And we now have that in every school except Nevada. And we're moving into Nevada. We took school at a time to get them brought up to P3 campus. And if you want a further explanation of P3 campus, I can do that. I'm assuming that you're on board with what that is. The only schools we aren't in is City of Ames and St. Cecilia's. We have P3 campus purchased for all of Story County. We've brought that to Ames' school's attention. They have their own unique system that they're using, so be it. But anyway, we have that throughout, which is taking time, and with the continued unrest we see continuously throughout the country, our officers are now stopping into the schools more often, being seen. Just a few weeks ago, there was the Bring a Gun to School Day, or whatever that was, to do shootings, and that was nationwide. And so we had our presence in all the schools that we contract now, but the other law enforcement had personnel in their schools, and our school systems really appreciated that. Everybody was somewhat nervous. However, school shootings, as we know, usually do not come with a coming on this day. It just happens. We've also taken radios and given a radio to each school. in outside the Ames area, and that is for if they have an emergency, they can immediately have contact with the communications division, and we can start responding officers right away. They can also continue to give updates what's going on as first responders, law enforcement, fire, EMS are responding and moving in that direction. We continue to teach in the schools, all the schools except Ames again, including Nevada, Rolling Story, and Ballard, our active shooter, active killer program. So the students, the faculty, and the staff know what to do, hopefully for the best outcome, should that ever happen in any of the schools. So with that, we wanted to know what our personnel standing was. And so the board could have a much clearer picture on this, because we realize the significance of the impact of the budget of four deputies. So Carson Lincolnmeyer, I asked to do a projected manpower study to show the board what we currently have on duty most days and where we feel we at least need to be. And if the board would grant that, he has a quick PowerPoint he can go through and talk about that.
Now, you mean?
Yes.
How quick is it?
Carson?
I can breeze right through it. 5 minutes?
That's fine.
Okay.
Yep.
It's okay.
Maybe 10.
Well, I just go back. Supervisor Faisal isn't here, so if you give, I don't want to... Just
I don't
say
know
you
how
could
to run this stuff.
And you're going to want to be up closer to the mics or
okay.
somewhere up
is
closer so she can hear you.
There's a mic up here.
Okay, is there a USB input I can use otherwise?
It's on the, well, that's my problem.
I also have harder copies.
That would probably be best.
You guys want harder copies?
Why don't you do that? It would save us about five. Pardon, Latifa?
Oh, I was just going to say, just go ahead and scan that to me and whatever you want to do, and that's fine as long as I can follow along.
Okay,
we'll have to get it to somebody to scan it to send it to Latifa, so that's going to take us a minute. Yeah. I'll need one to take, okay.
Thank you.
Latifa, is email okay? Scan it and email it to you, or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll get that.
Where's the best place?
Here, do you want to sit here?
Yeah.
This one.
You know, you stay there.
I can't, technology challenge. Yeah. So I don't know how to get this going with this understudy.
No problems.
You're just making me feel better, Lisa.
Oh, cool. There you go.
It's being done right now.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, just let me know when and I'll breeze right through.
Just go ahead and start.
Okay, perfect.
We got to keep moving.
Awesome. I'll breeze right through this. My name is Deputy Carson Lincolnmeyer. I'm a deputy sheriff of the Story County Sheriff's Office. I've been a full-time deputy since July of 2021, and previous to that, I was a police officer with Iowa State University Police Department. I will start with this PowerPoint. And this is just a general staffing proposal statistics on what we see in our area and nationwide trends and statistics. There's a table of contents on the second slide. And then on the third slide, we'll go to that. It's under the potential effects of this new YSS facility. On this, we did a quick generated report through our dispatch system from the addresses of 703 Burnett, 712 Burnett, and 804 Kellogg. I was seeing a continual trend of a majority of these calls happening in our afternoon shift between the hours of 3 to 11 p.m. So that's all documented there for the years of 2018, 2019, and 2020. So that would be the next three slides there. And for the last 3 years, that trend had continued in that direction to where a majority of the calls were taking place in that time. Another thing we have to consider with being a larger county and the amount of space we have to cover is response times to this new address outside of Cambridge. We don't have the pleasure of being in Ames to where a response time could be 2 to 5 minutes to these addresses. So on the potential effects of the new YSS facility and the response times, I graphed just general call response times and the drastic difference that we would face responding to these call times there. I won't go through all the call times as they're or response times as they're listed on the PowerPoint. I did a brief shift staffing survey for the months of June, July, and August of 2021. And in the day shift and afternoon shift, an overwhelming majority of the days were at minimum staffing. Minimum staffing at the sheriff's office for the patrol division is 2 deputies. I will touch on this later on why that impacts us and the safety issues it causes for us and the citizens. I'm not going to get into the numbers as they're listed on the PowerPoint there. Night shift, typically a lot less vacation and stuff is used on night shift just due to the hours worked and the availability during the day. That's why the numbers are lower there. So some calls for service require 2 or more deputy response. With the above stats, it can cause major issues with response times in the county. There are calls that require 2 deputy response, those being domestics, alarm calls, accidents, whether it's a personal injury accident, unknown injury accident, and what we're seeing on the rise today are mental health committals and pickup orders. Typically, it's preferred we have 2 deputies there, and if we're looking at this overwhelming majority of having a 2 deputy, 60% or above the days, we have 2 deputies on. This causes major issues with if something were to happen in the county while we're dealing with a domestic, an alarm call, an accident, or a mental health committal. I won't get into the numbers as they're in the PowerPoint in front of you. I compared surrounding counties with the uniform crime reporting data provided by the FBI, provided to them by local agencies. It basically shows that we are on a higher increase for at least 2019 and 2020 was on a higher increase of violent crime being extortion, kidnapping, sex assaults, arson, burglaries, destruction, vandalism, and motor vehicle thefts. I listed Polk County, Marshall County, Hamilton County. Boone and Jasper did not see a significant increase, and that could be due to some reporting issues that they may have had. Stats from 2020 to 2021 actually did show an increase in motor vehicle thefts in our county, they about stayed the same for everything else that was listed there. I also listed in there the P3 school reports have increased 95.55% within the last year, expecting a drastic increase with the addition of the Nevada schools and Ballard Community School District. As we've seen as patrol deputies and command staff and sergeants, there has been an increase in opioid abuse and opioid overdoses in our local area. It's not as drastic as surrounding states, but trends are showing that it's moving inwards on us. As local, Nebraska's seen a 27% increase, Minnesota's seen a 38% increase, Missouri 14, Wisconsin 20, Illinois 33. So trends are showing that it's surrounding in towards us. Again, as I touched on earlier, mental health issues, there's been 162.5% an increase of suicides in Story County since 2010. This trend's been on the increase since the year 2000 through the Iowa Department of Public Health stat reporting system. Not only does this take away from our manpower on the road, investigations, it also has an impact on surrounding families and the cascade of calls that may come from that and how that takes away from patrol staffing there. Officer safety issues, I listed this briefly. The number's gone down, but the rate of violent offenses and serious assaults has increased. Not drastically, but it has increased. There's been a 73% increase in line of duty deaths from 2020 to 2021. There are some additional numbers in there. I'll leave that for your guys' viewing. Again, motor vehicle safeties, these are issues that typically require a two-deputy response with the interstate running through Story County and Highway 30 running through Story County. Typically, at high traffic times, it requires two deputies to be there, with the lack of state patrol oftentimes being occupied in the metro and other surrounding counties assisting them. And very briefly, I won't go over it since it's in front of you, the timeline of a new hire, we estimated it is about a year. So from job posting date to solo patrol without any experience outside of their scheduled training is about a year. If you hire a certified, that'll cut back on that about 4 months. And then on the last slide there is my contact information. I do have a lot more that is available to see as far as statistics and how I got those numbers, and I'm available by email or phone call, and I can provide those to you guys if you need them. That's all I had.
A question on the timeline for new hire. A lot of the things that are there are the posting of the position, yep. Interviewing, things that don't yet mean there's salary implications.
Correct.
The salary implications would come about at the ILEA Academy and then the training, so that's about 32 weeks.
Correct.
Not totally correct. When the salary implications come because of not necessarily in our sworn positions, but others throughout, we're continually either recruiting and hiring position anyway. Because of civil service, we create a list, and right now we're working on that list.
It will expire this fall,
so we're working now to have a list, and whenever we do that process, there are costs associated with advertisement,
okay.
With publication, with civil service, okay. Buying the test, having them scored, things like
that. Well, I understand that hiring is not totally free, but I'm saying in terms of when the salaries kick
okay.
in.
Okay.
Oh, that would be on the hire date, yeah.
Yeah, that would be the, yeah.
Correct.
So you're looking at 6 months of that year. 6 to 7 months of that year is the salary portion of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. This is really interesting. I have a couple questions. Supervisor Heddens, do you have?
Go ahead and ask yours.
Good morning, Story County users. It looks like our phone system is back up and running.
Okay. Way to go, Alyssa. Way to get all that going, and then it just came up.
Would you do that? Then we can. I think Latifa will be able to hear better through that than she probably. I'm not sure she could hear very much.
I heard quite well, but I'm happy to switch over to
the number you have dialed is not in service.
Don't do it yet.
You don't have to dial in.
Okay.
The phone.
You don't.
Did it not dial into the conference?
Mike had dialed back into the conference.
We gotta dial
this phone in.
Yeah, but it wouldn't let him. It said it wasn't valid.
Latifa, hold on.
Welcome to the meeting. Please enter a meeting ID and press pound. You will now be placed into the meeting.
Okay, Latifa, now why don't you try that, and when you're in, I'll hang up my phone. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, I'm in.
Okay, great. So, to continue that, do we know when the YSS facility is opening?
August of 2023.
Okay, yeah. So it's not an immediate need in terms of that. Okay. I know there were significant discussions with YSS, and I think it's when you looked at with Sheriff those AIM statistics and said, oh my goodness, if they call the Story County Sheriff's Office as much as they call the Ames PD, that's going to be huge. I also know that there's been some discussions about things that YSS is going to be required to do, which is, one is get their own staff unit up and running and trained, and that they're supposed to then be, if they've got somebody who, they use the term elopes, leaves their grounds, then their first thing is that they are supposed to have their team activated, and they're supposed to be looking for that person, which I don't think they do in Ames. I think they just call the PD right now.
Well, they call the PD, but as I understand, they also walk with the person and try to talk them into coming back, and pretty much what they'll be doing now, because YSS is a shelter. They're not a confinement area. So if a student wants to walk, they can walk with them and talk to their blue in the face, but if a student, or the, I keep saying student, I'm sorry, but if the adolescent does not want to come back, they cannot physically grab you and require you to come back.
Okay. And I'm not sure what the status is going to be of all these juveniles they'll have out there, if they're going to be court-ordered or not. And if they're not court-ordered, I don't, yeah. But anyway, I know a lot of these issues have been talked about, and that why, and I think your office was involved, and planning and development was involved, and there were a lot of things that they could do to hopefully minimize the calls to the sheriff's office.
Yes, there's some things that they could do in theory, but we have not yet experienced it in practice. And if they're not doing it in Ames, I don't know what the practicality of that would carry through in reality. The other thing that we have, when I had talked in the boardroom when we had this meeting, that because, as Carson indicated earlier, we're not in a smaller geographical area, we're in a much bigger geographical
sure.
area. And with two deputies on it, if I have a deputy in Fairing and maybe even one around the Slater area, but the Slater area is working an accident or domestic violence, then the Fairing deputies, I mean, that's at least a half hour to get there. Now, in and of that, there, YSS, unless there's a chargeable crime involved, such as staff gets assaulted or injured or something to that effect, a walkway is going to be a lower priority. However, the issue that comes up is where's that walkway going to go? And we do not relinquish our responsibility to the people that live around the YSS. And so if somebody calls and says, hey, I think we see somebody out messing with one of our vehicles or something, that's going to be a much higher priority to get there, because we're going Certainly. To do everything we can to maintain the service to the mm-hmm. public that we currently have. So, because YSS is going to do a lot of things, I like to hear you know, things that we talked about they're going to try to implement, but until I see it in action, I'm still not going to be convinced, especially you go back to the theory that's a shelter, not a confinement. Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall, I know there was discussion, actually I think it was one of your requests, Sheriff, was for them to have some, like a fence, and I don't recall if that
No fence.
There's no fence, yeah. I just recall that you had had that as a discussion point. So.
Yeah, and they want the nature and everything, the ambiance, to be able to help soothe the adolescents that are out there.
Yeah, it's nature-based.
Split rail or woven wire fencing to mark property lines, no, including no trespassing signs on all property lines, so that everybody would know that's the line you can't go over. It's not a chain link fence with razor wire on it, nor should it be.
It would be similar to a door in the facility that would, if a student wants to leave or the adolescent wants to leave, they're going to leave.
Well, no, what they're doing is they're deterring it. No, you can't. That's the whole risk reduction thing. You can reduce a risk from something happening. You can't eliminate it. they're saying, or at least what I was understanding came out of that, was it would reduce the risk because it would be unintended and it might deter some people. Granted, some people can still go over a fence.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. And I am well aware of the fact that when you have two deputies out or even three, that, you know, your instance that somebody's responding to can be way on the other side of the county. I live in the unincorporated area. I've had to a couple times call deputies when something suspicious happened, and they get there right away, but they may be half an hour away. Yeah, that's something, you know, you live with when you're living out in the country and you understand it, and that's something that YSS will need to understand.
I'm sure they understand.
They've been told enough. I bet they do. Okay. Well, you know, you said we don't know, and I understand that. They have been told that these are the things you have to do to operate the facility in the county and to do it in a responsible fashion and in coordination with our sheriff. So, you know, it may take, you know, some more discussion of that when they get closer to opening. But I think that they've said that that's what they're going to do. I think we need to hold them to that. We need to say, you know, remind them that as you're going through getting ready here, remember you've got this really important component that you have not done when you're in the city of Ames. So, but, and I guess the reason I asked is you know, if they're not opening until August of 2023, it'll probably be a little later than that, but that's in fiscal 24, not fiscal 23. And that's why I was asking about your hiring timeline as well. You know, when you need to start, when you actually need to be having salary money.
I would say if they hope to open in 2023, August of 2023, with the time frame it takes to train deputies, you're looking at, if we have a list and don't have to go through the interview process and the background and all that, you're looking at just 6 months of training if they're not certified before they're solo. If they're not certified, it's 6 months of training. If they are certified, it would only be the three. So that's the time frame is, I'm going to say, a minimum of 6 months of hire date. But you still, if you're going to do the background can take it within 4 to 6 weeks. There's another 2 months, so you're looking at 8 months, if you have a list.
And when they get through the initial process of the written test and the oral interview, once a list has been given to us by civil service, we can pick from that list, and then I can give conditional offers. And what that means is then that allows us to send them down to the MMPI, to our psychologist who is... the written test is followed up by the interview by the clinical psychologist. We send them to our doctor for a physical, and then our staff begins the background investigation. And that is where the 4 to 6 weeks that Connie talks. And then we can come in and talk to them about making that conditional offer a full offer. And if they're working somewhere, they have a minimum of 2 weeks they need to give their previous employer before they can start with us.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
Oh, is it about YSS?
Well, no.
I had a question about Sheldahl. Before you had the agreement that you were doing all the contract law enforcement for Sheldahl, weren't you responding to some calls down there?
Well, I understand. As it was divided, Story County, there was one street where we had a few houses on.
Oh, okay.
And since we have close proximity to Slater, we have training agreements with Polk County, County Attorney's Office, and the Sheriff's Office in both Polk and Boone County, and with our Story County Attorney in mind and the Board of Supervisors. So anyway, we are the law enforcement for the city limits of Sheldahl, and where we had a little piece of it, now we have the whole thing.
So it has increased your time there significantly.
Yeah, we have. We went down to our first monthly meeting with deputies there, and they were already reading the contract or the hours, and they were saying that some of the other communities were getting much more hours of comparable size than they were. So we talked to our staff about that. We're getting more patrol hours, but that's also a complex mix to look at, such as when you're just recording patrol time. That's one thing. But there's, you can go through different communities, and they're each going to have their unique times. Where, if you remember the homicide in Surrey a few years ago, we had all the deputies, detectives, special response units up there for days working that investigation and doing that. But only the patrol time is reflected.
How many?
We have the same thing in burglary. So we're talking at the sheriff's office how we can do this so we don't make it so overburdensome, how we are going to reflect how we are spending a lot of our resources in these communities, such as the detectives, the drug task force, the SWAT team, the UAS team, and these things, of which have been used quite a bit. So, you know, it's just not patrol time at that case.
How much is the contract with Sheldahl?
What's that?
How much is the contract with Sheldahl?
We have a per capita rate for all contract towns, and that way, proportionally, every community pays the same. Our current contract rate, do you remember right off the
bat? roughly $20,000.
Okay, so that's probably the difference in your contract law enforcement revenue line item between 21 and 22, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've taken in additional monies to help with, I mean, the purpose of those contracts is to pay for
the offset. If you look at the schedules that we have, and you look at what the city of Ames, Story City, Huxley, and Nevada pay per capita, it's much more than what the other communities have. My position, all the years I've been sheriff, is that we're not looking for work. We are a matter of convenience for the smaller communities. And those communities who wish to use the sheriff's office services, which makes a lot more sense, so they don't have the hiring issues, they don't have the training issues, they don't have the liability issues, we absorb all of that. And they're getting a heck of a deal. But the small communities, as you know, budgets are tight everywhere. Mm-hmm. So the board has always tried to work with the communities, as if we have, to try to keep that a reasonable rate. Mm-hmm. And so that's...
Okay. I just have a question on, since you've mentioned the patrol calls, do you have some data as to kind of the increase in calls you've gone on, like 2019, 2020, 21?
I'd have to look into it. Okay. I don't have it on hand right
yeah.
now.
Sergeant Johnson, do you have anything to comment on that?
I can't hear you. You said the amount of calls?
Yeah, on patrol. I was just, we've got some specific, you know, data for YSS or some other just generally you've seen increases in particular crimes. I'm just wondering how many calls have you gone out on over maybe the last 3 years? I'm just wondering what the...
Oh, on the trends, yeah. I don't have the numbers, not an exact number for you, but I can tell you that it has increased. We have, you know, obviously with the jail the way it is and COVID the way it is, we've been trying to be selective on who we take to jail, which has kind of increased everything else too. So I think people got out and get this. But
the other things that we have within the past 3 years, how long has it been since we've done the P3 campus?
I'd say we started that almost 4 years ago.
And that's about a 95% increase?
Yeah, from just from the last year, we went from, I think, 45 reports to this year almost 90. Or this last year almost 90, so we've doubled, and then the year before that was even less, so it just keeps getting higher and higher.
And the P3 campus, just a nutshell vision of that, is that if a teacher, a student, a member of the community has heard somebody so-and-so is talking about suicide or having is being bullied or whatever, they can do an anonymous social media that goes instantly to the school administration and to the sheriff's office. And then the sheriff's office and the school administration connect, and a lot of the times the school will say, we're able to handle this, but there's been many times where they say, no, we'd like law enforcement to call. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, Sergeant?
Yeah.
I think it really would be helpful during budget hearings to have some of those numbers presented and not in, you know, voluminous, just like a single sheet or two in terms of what is the increase of certain, you know,
for future budget years, or do you want us to do some research?
Well, I thought I asked for it last year, but...
You did?
Yeah.
We'll be a little bit more on Google. Write that down.
I don't know. Leanna provided a whole lot of information, and I didn't include all of it, but some of that information very likely Alyssa might have.
I think she does, but she said it was a very huge file. She said it was about 100 pages, and I'd like to see something. I don't know what was all in it, but she didn't print it out because it was voluminous. And honestly, honestly, it would add, you know, we've got this, we've got ARPA stuff. 100-page packet isn't very, you know, I think if it just hones in on, you know, Story County data, not national, but Story County data and trends, it would really help me in terms of looking at position requests.
We will work on that next year to see if we can bring that to the board.
Sure. Nick Brazinio has calls for service info if you want that through the phone, if that helps answer her question.
Would you like to call for service communication?
We've got a whole huge budget to go through right now.
That's what you asked for. So I'd
like to see it, but I don't know about stopping and taking a segue when we've got all of this information to go through already.
We'll put that on our important list to do for next year, and we'll have communication.
I wouldn't mind if you... If,
you want it for this year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just have them send it to us.
Yeah.
Okay. Sheriff, this is Latifah. With the four additional deputies, would you expect them to be able to increase from two deputies on patrol to three, or what do you anticipate that looking like?
Carson, you've done the analysis.
With the four, we'd be looking to increase our staff minimum on patrol to three patrol deputies to alleviate that potential of basically risk mitigation. So allowing more staffing, allowing earned time to be used for, you know, vacations and all sorts of stuff like that. So having that increase from two to three would be the eye and goal of that.
So it would be the goal. You could accomplish it unless the bottom fell out, in other words.
Yep.
What if you had fewer than four deputies? What incremental improvements would you get with three, two, or one?
Well, that would depend again on where they were assigned, and we would have to work at our total workload. And then once YSS does open, then we would have to begin to evaluate how that impacts us. If it's similar to Ames, then our afternoon shift, 3 to 11, would be a busy shift, and that's where we would start with our initials. Okay. But carrying over to first shift and third shift as well, we're seeing increase in services around the clock. And again, when 2001, when we moved from this building to the Justice Center, there were 18 patrol people. There were three sergeants and 15 deputies. Until last year, where we increased one, now we're at 19. So we've been carrying the load, and as they've been increasing over the years, and now we have things that we've identified, P3 campus, Sheldon, and YSS coming. It's not that we can coordinate bringing our additional staff on the same day YSS opens their doors. There takes a process that you've heard about hiring, getting them on, also getting them trained, and not every person works out. So that could be another possible ledge to our process.
You said in 2001 you had three sergeants and how many deputies?
Excuse me, Linda.
In 2001 you had three sergeants and how many deputies?
15.
And you say now you have?
16 deputies and three sergeants.
You just have 16? That's the one we approved
last
year. Okay, Latifah,
and
I'm sorry.
In your narrative, I'm not sure where it was, you said research was showing you that you were going to need eight, but you were only asking for four. Do you anticipate next year coming back and making your request for four more?
Well, my response to that, Latifah, would be that we've been operating and absorbing the extra duties with the staff we've had for all these years. It's now getting overwhelming, and we're asking for the four. I do not expect that Story County, nor would we be asking Story County to double our ask from year to year. I would think that we would monitor where we are, and then we would continue discussions with the board should another increase we feel be required. We understand very fully at the sheriff's office that what the board says is our budget, and that's what we work with. We just want the board to be fully aware of our concerns and of our needs. And a short answer to yours, we have the four this year we get. I don't anticipate for some time coming back for additional requests for personnel. I can't blankly say no. I'm just saying that I do not anticipate that.
Where was the research, the part about research saying you needed eight deputies?
I have all of that in an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay, but where was it in the narrative? I must have missed it.
Page 152 is the starting of it.
A staffing analysis is also included, which arguably reflects the need for eight. Okay.
Yeah.
Arguably.
Yeah, I don't know what that meant, but okay. Thank you. How big is the spreadsheet?
Not very large.
Would you send it to me?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Send it to us.
Yeah, send it to all the supervisors.
I was going to print it out, but it was all.
Yeah, they.
You know,
yeah. Their Excel spreadsheets are easier on the screen. Thank you very much. Where would you like to go next, then?
Well, we kind of gave the overview of the figures that come up, and those are the key requests that we have. First of all, the total increase, as Connie said, just keeping what we had this year, but vendor costs, that increase because of inflation and their rising costs in and of itself is over $106,000. The CIP plan we've been talking about, the range, and we've been working with facilities management, Jovi on, we're looking at $90,000 there. And if you've ever been out to the range when we've had a storm or it's been raining, when deputies are cleaning their weapons, they're standing in the old meat market and water's running through up to their ankles as they're trying to clean, and that's where we also have our classrooms. The computers, as you know, computers are replaced every few years. Story County, I believe it's 3 to 5 years, computers are replaced. We have the request for the in-car computers and communications issues that we have, and that's $175,000 to replace all our in-car computers next year. And then just our request for increases we would like to have in the sheriff's office in our operational portion is $72,770. So that's our ask.
In reference to the computers, those were purchased, it's going on 7 years. They have a 7-year life, and we are finding that some of the computers now, the motherboards are needing to be replaced. I believe they're under warranty until this June, and then so those are covered, but once June hits, we're going to have to start paying for those if we can get it. So that price will, the cost is going to have to come from somewhere. So. And we knew going in
it's
a 7-year life plan because we've all gone on a 5-year payment plan.
How many are there?
Sergeant Johnson, how many computers do we have?
We have 2 for the reserves and then every sergeant in patrol, so that's 19 and 22.
So it'd be replacing all 22 computers?
Yes.
In-car
computers.
And 22 plus car computers?
No, it's all in-car computers.
Oh, all in-car, I'm sorry.
All in-car computers.
Didn't quite.
So you said there's two for reserves?
The reserve deputies.
Reserve deputies?
Yes.
That's what I mean.
We have two cars assigned to the reserves. So when they come into work, they have a vehicle, they go out and drive.
How often do they work?
What's that?
How often do the reserves work?
Deputies. They have to train once a month. They have to have 8 hours minimum a month.
And they will come out on special assignments, and when we're short on patrol, we will ask, and they will come out. We're continuing to try to hire additional reserves, but they have been our backbone for a number of years. And I remember one year we were down 8 people in patrol. The reserves come out and make up the difference for like 9 months until we were able to get back up to strength. So the purpose of the two cars right now is not only for the reserves, but when we have a deputy that's in an accident, hits a deer, or their car is out for a while, they take a reserve car and use that during the time.
Yeah, both are being used currently for on a daily basis, so they're not just sitting there collecting dust.
Okay. So there's 15 deputies and 3 sergeants. So that's, do sergeants have their
16
own?
16.
Deputies.
16, oh, three,
and
yes, 19.
And 2 general career detectives and 2 guard task forces.
Okay. Thank you. Is it necessary to replace them all at once?
We want to because then everybody's on the same platform.
Yeah.
And that is why we purchased them all at once, because then you don't have some people on an older version, other people on a newer version, and it's all just cleaner to have everybody on the same.
Gotcha. I had a question on your budget, if I can find the page now. I think it's under 294. It's your... Is it uniforms and equipment?
Yeah, are you looking at the thing I sent you or the
narrative?
No, the narrative.
Okay,
here.
Perfect.
It's actually the top of page 161. It says deputies 4. Are you already calculating in?
160 what?
Page 161 at the top. Is that already calculating in your requested 4 deputies, or is that your current
deputies? This is for, if you see, I have under 294, we have administration support services and all the different divisions are lined up.
Right.
We have 4 deputies in support services. We have the commander, the sergeant, and
okay,
the civil deputies. So that's replacing their uniforms.
That's okay.
And that's why it's only 350.
Okay, yeah, I saw some of that thread.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure if it was reflecting your new ask on it.
Lisa, when you look at the cost would be for 4 deputies, we supplied Lisa with that information so she can do a breakdown of each deputy. Also to understand that the startup cost for a deputy is going to be higher than the ongoing continual cost once that deputy's on board.
And we did not, I did not include anything with the new deputies in this proposal.
Right. Okay.
Because
okay.
It would be cleaner to just add it in if they were approved.
Right.
So no new deputies are in this.
Right.
That's what I remember from last time. You don't put them in.
Okay. Yeah, I just wasn't sure. I mean, your ask was for 4, and then I see 4. So that's what I was like. I wanted to just wanted to be sure on that.
One thing when we started, when I was, Linda gave me a look, and I knew the look Linda gave me. I worked with you out long enough to know. I tried to figure out where you're going to come from. The big ticket items that we purchased this fiscal year that we had in for was the throw phone and the tracker. And so for this next year, our big ticket items to replace those two big ticket items that I didn't include this initial is the Polaris, which was actually purchased in 2006.
And you're referring to, is it in this budget?
It's in this
okay,
budget.
Okay, okay.
On page 161, a $23,000
Polaris. Okay.
And then Master Control is in need of a new desk, and Commander Osmussen has been in touch with Joby and has information on that, but that would be the $30,000. So those two items in this budget replace the two big ticket items we had in
and then all the other ones are on top of those that
right.
parallel bid
right.
ticket item.
Right.
The 150 and the 90 and okay.
Yes. So I wanted to, when you gave me the look, I thought we'll talk about it when we get to
I know what she's talking about. Should we go through the expenses kind of sheet by sheet or item by item?
That might be helpful, just okay. So that we're clear.
So if we're on page... I don't know. I'm always looking at two different pages at once. You know, the narrative and the original whatever. So if you're looking at page 157, we've got all the payroll costs kind of at the top half. Then at the bottom we've got vehicles and other things. Are there? I have a couple questions, but does anybody have any questions on those, any of those items?
Linda, you said about which pages?
I'm looking at 157.
So you're pretty much looking at line items 129 through 412.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions on those particular lines? Is that what you're
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
It looks like
I do not have any questions on those.
It looks like your uniform and equipment costs went up, 75%?
It's at 175.
That's
the 175. Yeah. That's including those computers.
The computers are in there.
Okay.
And it's a much smaller item, but your office supplies went up 54%.
Yeah.
And that is because our AEDs will need new batteries and pads next year, and that's a $9,000 with all of the AEDs in each of the vehicles and the buildings.
9,000 under. Okay.
And I believe somewhere it says $4,000 was cut out of that. $400. I apologize. $400. So is that just buying fewer replacements for the battery we had?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I think those were my questions. You already talked about the uniforms and equipment because the postage and mailing is up. It's a small line item, though. I don't know if we really have to spend time on it.
I didn't have any other question on page 157.
Latifa, anything else on 157 or Lisa or Lucy?
No, ma'am.
If we go to 158, communication services. 414 is up quite a bit.
That cell phone for 32 SORN, what, where'd that been being paid for from?
It's not. That is a new item they were wanting to do. Lieutenant Ellis presented that all of the deputies, all of the SORN personnel have a cell phone issued by the county as opposed to using their personal cell. And I will have the sheriff talk about
it. The reason why that is because there are certain things with the growing technology that we have that we can require certain apps be put on department phones and used for department purposes. But when you have someone that's being received stipend, then what you have is we're limited on what apps we require them to put on their personal phone. Now, if you take the stipend, the deputies or the personnel who receive stipend, once they're issued a department phone, they'll no longer be receiving the stipend.
Okay, so we can lower the stipend by however many.
Yes.
But if they're using their personal cell, we can't say you have to put this app on your phone.
Right, right. Right now, on a taxable fringe benefit on page 156, we pay how much a month? I can't even remember. It's four.
Thinking of uniforms.
I know.
Nick, do you know that? Here,
no, I got it right here.
I was going to say, I believe it's $40.
Well, per person.
Per person, and then the number of people is...
Is it 10,000 a month, maybe?
Maybe on a wider scale.
Chief, just said 10,800. Where did you see that?
That's right in the middle of page
156, 106.
So there's two line items.
There's a fourth on the bottom.
The general fund or the rural plan.
Okay.
There's two line items. That's where we pay the stipend.
Right there. Okay.
So you're going to have 106 and 106, right? Those two line items.
Okay, so that's
where we pay for it now, so that's why I'm saying those will go down.
So that's $18,000 right
not
there.
Not for the sheriff's office.
No, you're not going to lose those. You're not going to lose those. Will not go down to zero.
No, they won't go down to zero.
They won't go down to zero because we pay for
meals.
For people, for meals when people go to out of county. Training.
Okay, so some of that will go down.
Some of it's going to go down, yes.
We also have clothing allowance
for all the
detectives. And so that you will have, and that's $1,000 a year per person. So that's not going to go down. I mean, it's going to go down, yes. But
not to zero.
Not to zero.
So I'm having a hard time following this, but let me try to shortcut it and see if I'm understanding. Cell phones for 32 sworn personnel at $45 a month. Are all 32 of those people getting the $40 a month stipend? How many are?
How many supervisors and committee
staff. So this would get additional cell phones to people who are not getting the stipend now. So it's not just a wash. Any estimate how much you could take that down?
That would be up to how many, which deputies are you going to choose to have
right.
to have the app on the phones. And every deputy, Sergeant Johnson, do you have more information on the particular apps that would be used on the phones?
No, there's several for missing persons, all those mapping apps, the actual radio apps that we could use that connect with our radios and things like that.
Okay.
There's probably 3 to 5 I know that Lieutenant Millis was telling me about.
So, I guess I'm just a little confused then. So you'd like to have everyone have agency cell phones, but it sounds like you wouldn't require all of them to have the same apps on them?
No, if they had a phone assigned to them, they would have the apps that are required that we would want them to have, yes.
Okay.
If they have their personal phone, they get to choose what they want to use.
Okay. But you wouldn't give somebody choice if you wanted that employee, that officer, to have those apps. You wouldn't say you can use your own cell phone and not have the and not be required
well,
to do
they
that.
Are, if they're issued a phone, they when they're on duty, they have to use their phone. And I will say, and this is, I have found our deputies who do not get a stipend use their personal cells all the time. Call into the office to, they don't necessarily make calls, but they're constantly being texted. And I realize a lot of people have the unlimited data and that, but they're using their personal phone calls for contacts at work.
I don't get a personal stipend, and I'm on my phone calls.
Yeah. And it's just, and
I, for payroll purposes, getting rid of the stipends would make my life so much happier. Absolutely happier, because it's a pain.
Yeah. And we're not going to figure out here how much money there is to be saved there somewhere else in a budget, but you understand, yeah, we're talking about there's some money there that could
absolutely.
Be recovered.
And that's why we're having the discussion.
So,
why is it in the budget? It's brand new this year.
Sure.
I know Lieutenant Ellis, we may have put it in last year, but it was cut. I don't remember off the top of my head. It was not okay. But
I didn't see it.
Okay. It was,
you might have cut it at your level.
We discussed it and then decided not to do anything with it. But it is something that now that people are more on social media and if it was my personal phone, I don't want my boss telling me what I have to have on my phone, if it's going to take up space on my phone, if it's going to run my battery down or whatever.
Sure, as long as we're not doing bull.
Right, right.
You know, so what I'm just going to say there is there's some room there. And we may, you know, at the end of this say we'd like to see some change in the budget. That's one place you could find it. That's one place you could sharpen the pencil or if you still use pencils. No, but you could look at that and say, okay, what you know, where can we recoup that money rather than, okay, good. Where are we then? That's communication services. Education and training. That seems to have gone up quite a bit as well.
Well, remember last couple of years of COVID setting in,
travel had pretty much stopped for a while. And as we talked about last year, we're falling behind the curve. Just recently, we received a notice from ICAP that Lisa forwarded on to us about another issue, failure to train, and things like this that we're looking at. I assure you, the Story County Sheriff's Office is one of the best trained law enforcement agencies, I would say in Iowa, if not the vast majority of the country. Anyway, we have fallen behind from trainings that we've missed. And so we're trying to come back in and get back into that pool. And with the trainings that are coming up and training programs that we're looking at, this is what we feel we will need to come back. We can't compare it to last year because so much of our training was cut.
No, but when you're looking at 19 to 20, you used 112,000 there. And fiscal 19, you used 113,000. And then the 115 in 21 was about the same that you had used the previous two fiscal years. And you've reestimated to 207. So that's a leap already. And then you've got 267 for next year. So that's another leap.
Yes.
That's way higher than anything you've ever used.
That was going to be my kind of comment, too, is just looking at your three-year average on there. I know that looking at 21, as the pandemic started coming in and into 22, made some changes, but that just seems a significant leap going from your re-estimate for this year for what you're requesting for 2023.
Well, you know, comparing 2021 and 22 is like comparing apples and oranges. What we have lost in the last couple of years, we're trying to bring back and bring us back where we are. You can look around the other counties and talk to the other supervisors and talk to them about lawsuits they've had in their jails and in the sheriff's office. My first term in office, we had a couple of lawsuits, and they were resolved, and we haven't had lawsuits. That's part of the insulation that I believe Story County enjoys because of the training and that we do and the investment we make.
Do not dispute the need for training.
Pardon me?
I do not dispute the need for training. I do not dispute the fact that it helps reduce liability. Negligence in training, failure to train is a big issue in case law. I agree with you. I've got a few more, but let me let somebody else go.
So can you talk a little bit more on the 446, the radio repair equipment increase? I'm assuming the training center is what's already on is the range is what you're referring to?
No, the range is actually in the 457.
In 450?
Yeah, that's where that 90,000 is.
Right. I'm sorry, that's what I meant.
I thought you were going 446.
No, sorry. No, so I wasn't asking about 446. I was going on to then say, I think the 457 was that. And then it looks like a pretty good leap in regards to office equipment and furniture as well.
So that's the $30,000 for the master control desk.
What is the need there specifically?
Yeah.
I'm not visualizing. I've seen it, but I'm not visualizing what the issues are.
Andrew Robinson?
Which one?
The master control desk.
Yeah. For Josh, whoever. All right.
Well, you discussed that in the 56th, right?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay.
Don't trip over any. Oh, you're going around.
Latifa, we got pictures.
We can scan that for you.
Photo ops.
We'll try to explain it. Is that okay, Latifa?
You can just describe the pictures. It's fine.
John, could we keep a copy so that we can give it to her when she does?
Sure.
Yeah, if you want to just leave it there, that way we can put it on her desk so she has.
Gotcha.
So as you can see, the big, this one here.
The one with the desk.
Yes, so it's similar to what we have in dispatch as well, and that you have a control station for that officer that has to run all the cameras, doors, and everything like that, so we're needing to replace that workstation. And as well as talking to Joby, carpet redone, storage for officers to bring their coats and everything in. There's also, we're wanting to take, we're up to now 5 computers in there that run doors, cameras, just for the workstation for the officers as well, of getting all those put into an actual server boxes so that way they're up off the floor and not getting damaged or anything like that, actually putting them into cabinets. That way you can get at them when you need to, if you need to change wiring or the IT needs to come and work on them. So it's basically just a total redo of master control. So this one here just kind of shows you some of the, we're putting the computers in the tower and the workstations so we can have them off where we can access them easier. And then talking to the company that just got done doing dispatch, that's where this one came from. And then pricing it out with the carpeting and everything else we're going to do, we're sitting right at about, well, I'd say between 25 and 30,000. So I mean, we probably can, as we get into it, maintenance, when I talked to Joby, he thought he might have some leftover carpeting that we have that we can actually put in there and save a little bit there as well.
Is it original from the jail or has
Correct.
It been redone? Original, not redone at all.
Correct.
Well, I think with all of the computers, all the technology you have there, and the idea of, you know, doing better enclosure of it does make some sense. And you've got, how many people do you have working at that control station?
There's always one that's in there at all times. It has to be in there to run all the doors. If we sure. have where there were short, or if we have an emergency situation, we'll put another officer in there as well. And then also during training times, there's 2 officers in there too.
Yeah, the cover, and I'm not going through all this real quickly, but just the cover looks like a much larger of this.
Yeah, our version would probably be just one portion. Like if you were this gentleman's at down here, it'd just be that part is what we're basically looking at.
So you're just looking at something for one, maybe 2 people.
Correct.
Okay. That's helpful because I looked at that and I went, wow, how many people you got there?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you don't want people sitting at your console. You want people out walking
right.
around.
And the only thing that's different between us and dispatch is we have bigger monitors to watch all of our cameras. So I know if you guys have been into Mass Patrol, you can see those big, almost 50-inch. There's 4 of those big ones that are up on the wall, too, getting them put towards around this person working the station as well.
Yes. Okay.
Gotcha.
So it's, with all the technology, all the things that have changed, it's due for an upgrade.
Yes.
Okay. Latifah, did you have any, I know you can't see this, but from what John said, do you have any questions about the master control?
Not about the master control, but I do have a couple of questions still on the education and training.
Okay.
We could go backwards.
Okay, the sheriff stepped out for a minute. I mean, would this be a good time to take a 5-minute break?
Maybe, yeah. Apparently, yeah. Now that I didn't know. Now that you already
have, take 2
plugs. All right.
Okay, we're
going to
take a 5-minute break, Latifah. So,
okay, sounds good.
Back to you.
Okay.
Have a good looking
for yours. Are you back online or still online?
I am.
Okay. I think we'll start again. And we'll start with Supervisor Faisal's questions. I think you were looking at the education and training. Is that correct?
Yeah.
We're
getting
to
an
announcer.
Let me know when you're ready.
I think we're ready. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. So this on page 166, certification ILEA 2 new deputies, is that, which are those 2 new deputies? Is that 2 of the 4 that you're asking for? Are these 2 new deputies?
No, we got a plan for the upcoming year, and we know we're having 1 deputy that's retiring, so we're going to be hiring to replace that deputy, and we'd like to have another one in the wings. Should that occur, but that has nothing to do with the cost associated with our request for
Okay. And then there are several unscheduled trainings, like the unscheduled training for 15 deputies and 4 supervisories, and the miscellaneous instructor certifications, miscellaneous instructor recertifications, unscheduled training under negotiations, miscellaneous schools under drug task force. I just feel like there's a lot of detail in all of the trainings that you've already identified. I'm just trying to imagine, just how could there possibly be more trainings than you've already identified that you want to go to? It just seems like a lot of miscellaneous.
Well, keep in mind, that we also, this budget is for 18 months out, and as we have things that come to our attention throughout the year that we like to send deputies to increase our training, our technology, and our ability to provide services. But for us to look at a crystal ball and for the number of staff that we have to think, oh, this is all the training that's going to be there, and that's that. It just doesn't work that way.
And Latifa, we also have for the recertifications and the certifications, we have so many certifications for CPR certification training, training the instructor, for defensive tactics training, for firearm training, and our trainers have to get recertified. Instead of listing out every single certification, we just kind of lump them together.
And Latifa, one of our other things that we do is the FBI National Academy. And we send a person away for 3 months that's paid for by the government. And however, they miss their trainings that they go to for 3 months, but there's other things that happen when they're gone. Gary Backus is one of our recent attendees to the academy. Gary,
can you come in,
please?
Yeah, so Lieutenant Gary Backus, Sheriff's Office. So over the last 3 years, we've sent 2 of our command staff to that FBI National Academy, spent multiple months there at no local taxpayer expense. So we're not shelling out of our budget to pay for them to be at these trainings and to do this. And what ends up coming from that is new information, new ideas of what we need to be doing, how we need to be training better, what is on the horizon, because the classes include international students from big jurisdictions that are dealing with problems that we're not seeing yet. And so when we come back from that, we recognize we need to be prepared for all of these things. So we need to have the money so that we can say, yes, this training is a one time only in this location, and we need to be able to pull the trigger. But if I didn't know about that 18 months ago, we couldn't have predicted that, you know, bomb prevention is what we need to go to, or counter UAS is what we need to go to, or search and rescue, because now we have drones, and 18 months ago we didn't have drones. We could not have predicted that, but we have to have those earmarks in order to do that type of planning and budgeting and be able to stay on the front edge of the ability to respond and provide the public safety that we need to.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. Supervisor Faisal, did you have more questions?
No, not right now. Thank you.
I had a question on investigations.
The 492 line item?
Yes. Your 3-year average is 6,300. You've used 9,000, 6,000, 2,000. You only used 3,000 this year, and you've got 21,000 in fiscal 22.
Detective Rowe?
Hey, actually, I can answer this. Looking at the budget, the Detective Rowe, you may have to expand more on this. They have requested 2 poll cameras, and the sheriff cut one at $5,500. Detective Rowe, would you like to discuss what a poll camera is used for?
Yeah, so what a pull camera is, we use them for a lot of different things. We're very limited right now on technology that we have here at the sheriff's office as far as when we're getting ongoing crimes going on. So it could be multiple burglaries at rural addresses or Construction sites are pretty common where we'll get hit with those multiple times in a row. We'll get rashes of them, copper thefts, or if we're just needing something to monitor a house for ongoing investigation that we have. Really, the only thing that we have at this point in time is kind of over-the-counter deer cam type cameras that are very limited on their technology and what we're able to do with them. What a pole camera is we can put those up at a specific location, and we can monitor those from a remote location if we want to. We can record what the camera is seeing. We can monitor it live. So we can use it for a multitude of different types of investigations. Just technology that we don't have now. They're common. They've been in use for a long time. They're proven. It's good technology. We just don't have anything right now that would give us those capabilities. The Drug Task Force does have one, and Sergeant Hochberger, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's pretty much in use almost all the time at one location or another.
Yeah, we use the pole cams weekly for narcotics investigations or intel gathering on locations where we see a lot of traffic coming and going. We'll put them up places where there's complaints from neighbors about a lot of foot traffic, vehicle traffic coming and going from the area. So it just gives us more information and intel to follow up with search warrants and take care of the whatever drug or criminal behaviors are going on at that location.
Sergeant Rowan, another item that is another big ticket item under investigations is the Cellbrite Pathfinder software upgrade.
Okay, so in the past in investigations, what we primarily dealt with as far as computer type crimes were like actual computers, tower type computers. I would say 90% of our cases now, if not more, are specifically cell phone, iPad type devices. Cellbrite is our software that we're able to do forensics analysis on cell phones, iPads. We can use it on laptops as well, I believe. And in investigations right now, just currently, I know there's at least 10 investigations ongoing that is using Cellbrite technology. That's just in general crim. That's not including the Drug Task Force. It's absolutely vital technology that we really couldn't develop cases if we don't have it. If we don't have it ourselves, we have to take our cases to the state. Last case we turned over to them, we got it back 18 months later.
Oh my gosh.
Is how backed up they are. So it's necessary for us to have that capability to do it ourselves. 18 months out, we're not even going to be able to file charges on some cases if we're that far behind.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Heddens, did you have some other things?
I don't. He answered my couple questions right.
Okay.
Can I jump back to something before break? I spoke with Sergeant Johnson, and one thing about the cell phones I just wanted to make note of is that if they are at an accident and they're taking photos on their cell phone, or if they're in investigation taking photos on their cell phone, their personal cell phones could be subpoenaed for those photos. I just wanted to add that to that list.
Okay, that's a good point.
So I just want to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been using their personal cell phones for how long?
Forever. So. Yeah, so I just wanted to throw that.
Sure,
out.
Sure.
Thank you. That's a very good point.
Sheriff, when you started, you said something about jail transport van, $74,000. Where's that?
It's not in this place.
Okay.
It's in what? I'm sorry.
The 99 line item. Oh, is it down to the 99?
Oh, the countywide?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be, I put their countywide request on page 175 and 176.
Well, let's go to that then. I think we're down to that, unless I'm missing something.
No, I think you're right, because I think all the rest is the narrative from the other couple pages.
Okay. So
we're on page 176?
Yeah. 175 or 6, whichever one you prefer to look
well,
at.
Well, 176 is what's going to break down what those costs are.
Okay, there's the van. Okay.
So the ask is for one Ellis, an Ellis replacement and a van, ERT van, for $195,000 out of the general fund. And the changeover for everything is $75,000. And then they're asking for 5 vehicles out of the rural fund. Patrol vehicles.
So years and mileage on those vehicles?
Anthony, the ERT van?
Yeah, so the reason that we're looking at, I wouldn't even say really upgrading an ERT van. The van that we have, it's so old, it's almost unusable depending on the date. Like the brakes, we constantly have issues with brakes on it. It's just a very old van that we're using. The MRAP does allow us some transportation options, but not enough to transport an entire team. And then the type of operations that we do now, that because of the MRAP's given us the ability to update our tactics and best practices to make sure that we resolve things in a much safer way than we used to. So the MRAP does allow some transportation options, but not enough to hold the entire team. I believe the MRAP will hold to about eight people with all their gear, and we have a team of 15 plus 4 drivers. So when we're asked to go assist other agencies or even our own calls, right now we're kind of supporting sometimes the van and the MRAP, or we're taking our unmarked vehicles and packing people in unmarked vehicles, and then we end up with, you know, 4 or 5 vehicles on scene that are completely unnecessary to get to where we're going. If we had a new van that we could get everybody into, or a new vehicle, whether it's a van, a box van, something like that. We have no technology in the current van. It's just a shell, essentially. What the new vehicle would have is we'd be pushing to get technology in there as far as a TV with Wi-Fi capabilities, so the team leader could be monitoring everything that the drone's seeing, or it could even be at the command post where we have the capability to see what the drone's seeing inside of a house or outside of a house. We have no equipment storage really in the van that we have now. No place to store firearms, other equipment. We're badly in need of updating the van that we have. It's just antiquated. It's kind of just essentially a cargo van that we're trying to fit people in.
If I remember right, the current ERT van, wasn't that an old jail van?
It was the original.
Repurposed for the ERT, and there were parts of it rusting through. And I mean, it's an old van.
I know we've had it. It came from the jail, and ERT has had it for probably close to 10 years. So it has served its purpose, and we used it for what we could. But like you said, it's rusting out. The doors, sometimes the doors kind of jam up. It's hard to get the doors open from the inside. It's just an old vehicle.
Thank you.
So how often does it go out?
Pardon me?
How often does it go out? the MRAP. The ERT van goes out when the MRAP goes out, right?
No. The ERT van can go out when the MRAP stays parked where it is.
Okay.
It just depends upon the type of ERT call they have and what's necessary.
Okay, so it might go out on its own or might supplement the MRAP.
Absolutely.
Okay. How many times a year have you been using it?
Monthly training.
Monthly training. Sheriff, I can answer that if you like.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Okay, so the ERT van is not just used for call-outs. The ERT team regularly does training and participates in training outside of our county. So we use different ranges. Altoona's indoor range for some things. We go to Grinnell's Brownell range. So we're able to do some things that our range doesn't allow us to do. So we use it for training every month. So when if we do leave the county, we need something to transport people in. Otherwise, we're taking half a dozen vehicles just to get us to go to the training. As far as call outs, there are times that the MRAP's just not practical for the type of call out that we're doing. On average, ERT gets called out probably between, probably around four times, 3 to 4 times a year. It comes and goes, like some years, some 5 times. And that's not for training, that's actually getting called out. So, the year of 2000, we were busy. We had our own call outs to deal with, and then we were being called down to Des Moines three to four nights to assist with protests down in Des Moines, do riot control down there. We've been used by the FBI 2 times on major operations in the last couple years. We went down to Des Moines in combination with 17 other teams and went down and helped execute search warrants on federal targets. So our team stays busy with our own stuff as well as assisting other agencies. We've been up to Mason City, Iowa Falls. We're equipped having the MRAP to do some things that other departments aren't. So they look to us for assistance. As far as the van goes, so it's not just every call out that we're using it. We use it for trainings, and it's essentially our transport when we're coming and going for trainings and things as well.
The style of van also is not just the old cargo van. We're looking at a type of van that is a higher point van. This way, not only the equipment that we'd like to put into it, but we'll also be able to put gun lockers in the ERT van, so when the ERT members go out on something and they're not necessarily needing their long guns, they have a place they can lock it and secure it instead of just putting it under the seat or something to that effect. So it's just some trying to modernize our technology and our safety equipment and trying to bring it in line. We've had this vehicle for at least 14 years. And if not longer, and again, this is not an item that we come to the board quite often asking for purchase.
So that's a bigger priority than the transport van, is what you're, or than the jail transport van.
Pardon me?
So it's a bigger priority than the jail transport van, is what you're.
This year, we're not asking for the jail transport van. What we've been trying to do is, so it's not such a sticker shock to the board. We started talking about it last year, and we're going to keep reminding the board the jail transport van is going to need to be replaced eventually. And when we come to that point, at least the board will have some early warnings that it's coming.
So is that the $75,000 then that should be taken out?
No,
no, that's changeover cost.
Oh, okay.
For what?
For all the vehicles.
Yeah,
that all comes out of the general fund, and that's all the vehicles, no matter if they're marked, unmarked, paid out of rural, or paid out of general.
So, it was confusing because the $74,000 was cut was so close to the $75,000.
Right, exactly, it was listed right underneath.
Okay. So the other...
I don't understand what changeover costs are.
Changeover costs are when we have a vehicle, we replace a vehicle with a new vehicle, we have to have the top lights, the siren, the radio, the computers, all those equipment items that are in the squad cars, they have to be taken out. What can be reused is reused, but because of model changes in the vehicles, sometimes we have to just get brand new. And that is what, that gets quite expensive, and that's what those costs are for the changeovers.
Okay, thank you.
So the five vehicles that are listed under 635, got any idea what the mileage is on the vehicles that would be replaced?
Sergeant Johnson?
These are on our typical 4-year, 100,000 miles. Most of the deputy, the patrol cars are going to have higher. The 8515 is the drug task force vehicle. But the other ones are patrol vehicles, so they could range anywhere from 110,000 clear up to 140,000 miles.
You're saying they're all at somewhere between 110 and 140?
They'll all be over 100,000 miles, yes.
Okay. And then I assume you will sell the five vehicles that you're replacing. Is that in revenue anyplace, or does that just come back to the county? Where's that money go?
Back to the county. It is not in revenue anyplace. I can put it in there because that's what's been happening. They've been selling them, but it's a crapshoot as to what year we're going to get the money in.
Okay.
So it, as opposed to offsetting the cost of the vehicles, we're paying up front and then we're putting it back into sale fixed assets in the general fund or the rural fund.
Okay, so it goes back to the general fund,
yeah,
or rural fund, depending on where. Okay, then it shouldn't be here. That makes sense.
If I can just make a general comment. I'm in my 30th year as sheriff. As we've gone through the process of vehicles, we've tried various times. At the sheriff's office, we worked to get the number of vehicles divided into rotational years. Every 4 years, the vehicles rotated. And we do that because in past years, we've tried, well, this vehicle we can maybe get another year out of. And then pretty soon, you're skewed. And in 1 year, you're buying, maybe you get it down to 2 or 3 vehicles, but the next year you're buying 10 vehicles. And so the various boards I've worked with, it seems to always come back. The best way that we've done that is to have our 4-year rotation. Now, we have some vehicles, perhaps commander vehicle that is low miles, that will be resorted into our pool car, and our other pool cars will go, or other places of the county have asked for them, and they've gone to other places of the county. So vehicles aren't wasted. We just started a process this last year where instead of getting trade-ins on our vehicles, we go to a sales, law enforcement sales.
Gov.com.
And anyway, we've been surprisingly, happily surprised by the amounts of vehicles, much more than we would on trade-ins. So that brought back the other costs to the county as well. So, for what it's worth.
I want to go back to 635.99. Because you have, is your total there 195 is what you're doing? So 150 is for the ERT van, and the rest is for the?
No, 45,000 then is for Ellis's vehicle.
Okay, that's what I was just trying
to. Yeah, and then 150 for the ERT van, and then 75 on top of that for the changeover costs.
Gotcha.
So the whole line item becomes 270,000 for the from the general fund.
Okay.
With those items.
Okay.
Yeah, there's something really messy about how that's just.
It is. So Ellis's vehicle is not part of the five that are in
the bottom.
The bottom.
No.
Okay.
She's a lieutenant.
The top is general.
Fun. Okay.
They split them out for me depending on who they're replacing as to what they're primarily paid for from. So if they're primarily paid from the general fund, then they put it in the general fund as a expense.
God, it's confusing.
If the 75 had been over next to changeover costs rather than in that, yeah.
Do you want me to do it that way next year?
Might be a little bit clearer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can
you
do that?
Yeah. The there's something else that I was wondering about. The sheriff's reserves. 3-year average, 4,200. Reestimated FY 22, 5,000. 23 requests, 12,000.
So the Sheriff's Reserve Officer Fund is a separate fund that the Sheriff's Office the reserve deputies get paid for ISU contract, whatever. It goes into this fund. It's a budgetary fund, but it's not taxpayer dollars at all. So you, as far as I'm concerned, they could budget the whole balance of that fund because they have it in there.
No problem. Just was needing the reminder what it was.
That one and the special law enforcement is the same way, basically. Special law enforcement, if they don't have money, they can't spend it, but it's where the forfeitures,
donations,
that type of thing go.
The prisoner supplies.
That's out of the commissary. Same situation. The commissary makes money and spends money.
Okay. Got it.
So the medical care, court-ordered services, motor vehicles, two line items are what's taxpayer dollars.
Okay.
And am I remembering right that the sheriff's reserve officers fund, part of that comes from like contract work, like at the games and that type of thing, or am I imagining that?
That's where they get the revenue, and what the reserves do is that goes into an account. The reserves don't take the money personally like some counties do, and that goes into the account. And then if they have something they would like to buy, such as outfitting the vehicles Mascot Patrol has, they have time to use that. They purchase their own weapons from their own account, so the county, but once they purchase it, it goes under the umbrella of the county, but it's kind of a gift to the county, I guess.
Gotcha. That's right. Thank you.
Sorry, Lisa, didn't you?
No, it's thank you.
So when you get down to the subtotal and operating, going back to page 158, am I right that the amended original operating for this year is 1.5 million and the request for 23 is 1.9 million?
Yes.
Okay. There's no total under the reestimated, but I assume they're pretty much the same.
I don't know that they reestimated any of their operating.
You didn't nothing was reestimated. So the 1.5 and the 1.9 are really what we're looking at. Okay.
I'm sorry, Linda, could you say that again?
Okay, I was looking at the bottom of page 158. I was just kind of summing up where we were on the operations budget. And when you look at the amended original for FY22, it's a little over 1.5 million, and they did not reestimate, so we can call that the reestimated as well, or that's what it is. And for 23, it was 1,963,000 that was being requested. So I was just kind of summing up. Should we look one more time to see if there's any questions we missed?
Yeah.
So that's 29%, 29.2%. And an increase of, if my phone is not failing me, an increase of about 444,000. And Connie, yes, you did give us how that fits with what you've given us. Is close. 196,200, 375, 425. 420-something. So I'm about 20,000 higher on just my what I did, but it's over 400,000. Okay. Oh, it's about the same.
Yeah.
444, 367 is what you've got. Somehow I've got 444, 420. We won't split that difference.
I got 444, 422 on the paper, but on here I've got 444, 367.
Yeah, so 400 and over, yeah, almost 450,000-ish. Okay. Now, this is helpful the way you laid this out, Connie. I appreciate that. Does anybody... I've got some comments, but I can wait till the other supervisors have discussed. Or
Latifa, do you want to? Do you have any additional comments?
Latifa?
Sorry, I was using my phone as my calculator, and I couldn't get off.
No, that's okay. I just want to make sure.
Speak to your calculator.
Wanted to make sure we didn't lose you again, and I was about ready to.
That's the problem.
Check to see if you texted me to say.
No. Go ahead, Linda. I don't have questions right now.
Okay. I do appreciate. I understand there are several big ticket items here that are very important to the operations. I can understand a need to, or saying, you know, we've got people out on the road, they should all have, you know, it works better if everybody's got the same systems. It's a pricey, but I understand the reasoning behind that. I think if the jail, if your master control area has not been redone since you first started using it, there's been a lot of technology there, a lot of things there. The training center, the range. Wow, it seems like a lot of money to be putting into, you know, what's basically a small building.
Well, we wouldn't be putting that money into a small building. It would be upgrading.
It would be the range itself.
Well, sure. It'd be a building where we could do training in, and we would. Right now, would you come out there when we're having training in the spring? And we're having a thunderstorm, you can see how the people in the classroom standing in ankle-deep water as it's running through the shed. I mean, that's the kind of environment that we've been in for a long time. The range has always been something that looked at as first cut. And I say that because when I came on, they were training in various farmers' cornfields, or they went to the guard range over Ames until they disbanded us, wouldn't let us go over there anymore because of the high lead content. And then we built our range, and the money we put in the budget each year was the first thing taken out. And so I worked with volunteers and contractors that loaned us the equipment. The co-op gave us all the fuel. We had all kinds of volunteers going out and working, and we built a range. And you've seen our range, and that's what we get with no taxpayer dollars. The fence that went around there was paid for with forfeiture dollars. And the improvements that we made there, we did a shed a couple of years ago that we've added to it for additional storage. We can store our targets and equipment. And really, we've had no upgrades there. We'd just like to bring it up so we have restroom facilities. We have a place we can have a classroom. We can be in there and train in an appropriate
place. Does this include restroom facilities?
No.
That is in the CIP.
That's in the CIP plan.
That's later.
Okay.
But for this $90,000, Captain Lenny would like to put lights, because there's no lighting out there, the tiling around the building, because it's going to be a while before a new training facility is done. If we can put tiling around the building so the building is flooding as they're down there, tiling down by the burn area because it gets very sloppy, because there's no
turning targets. As well.
So if we do this $90,000, how long are you going to keep, you know?
Well, that work will all be done, too. That's not part of the training facility. The range part itself where they shoot is not going to change. And I don't believe the training facility is going to be done for, what, another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's later on. I got a little carried away.
Okay, yeah, that's what, see, what, here's what, yeah, one thing is $90,000. We don't want to just, is your plan just going to be, we'll just use that for a few years, then we'll go someplace else, do something totally different? We will just let that, okay.
This is to me being the quality of the range itself. And
okay.
Additional questions or requests that we had in the CIP. Okay.
So I think it's kind of long here, just so that I'm clear mm-hmm. on what we're saying. So you're looking to upgrade the range, the building itself as well, so you can do the training in there? I'm just trying to figure out when you say there's going to be another training facility in 3 years down the road.
Let me clear this up.
Thank you.
The building we've been hoping for a long time, so I've been excited to be looking at possibilities of improvements out there. That's one of the improvements, but that's on the longer range community improvement plan.
Okay.
And that will be a few years down the road before we get to that point. But right now, we're trying to maintain the integrity of the range, and for night shoots, we have to use car headlights and things like that. We don't have lighting out there. We'd like to put up the lights. We would like to do tiling, because right now, after a rain, you can't go out there because it's so mushy that you leave deep rivets, and it just ruins the range. So tiling and those costs, the lighting and those costs, with facilities management, expected $90,000 for those upgrades.
I just wanted to make sure that we're not putting $90,000 into something, and then a few years later we're doing something totally different, and that $90,000, we no longer have the value of that. It was just a temporary
our range,
use of that.
Even the way it sits right now,
okay.
Is envy. The state of Iowa uses it. Once the state patrol and DCI wants to come up and use our range for their training, but preferably it will be before rates or after.
So the range is long term where
range,
it is.
That range is going over.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. That helps.
Let's not do
my notes. No, it's.
Okay. That helps me with that. I still, when I look at the budget, you know that Connie knows what I look at. You know, I look at the 3-year average, I look at the trends, and then I look at all the long lists of things and try to kind of put that all together and say, where are we going? I understand the need for some of those big ticket items. I still think there's room in the operating budget, and I'm going to ask if we could consider looking at a $150,000 reduction in operating. I have my list of the things I think could be cut, but I understand the sheriff is an elected official. He's our law enforcement expert. I'm not going to tell you where to cut your budget, but I'm just saying, looking at the whole thing, I think there's $150,000 cut in operating would be reasonable.
So I'm clear. By Connie's sheet that she had presented, we have the total service increase, just the increase in prices going up to the things that we currently have. That's $106,597. The range is $90,000. And the computers is $175,000. So you're asking from the $72,770 that we have for increased requests, you're asking $150,000
to take away. I'm asking that I'm suggesting $150,000 be taken away from the bottom line operating, which is the $1,963,620. Where you do that is obviously, you know, what you would, you know, your discretion. This is helpful.
Yes.
Okay, this is helpful. And it does do a good job of sorting some of the bigger items and saying, yeah, look at, you know, this is why the increase is so much, and I understand that. I still, you know, and again, I say, you say it's your call, but I'm looking, I told you what I'm looking at. Also looking at, I think there was a good point made by Supervisor Faisal. There's a whole lot of training listed there. And it is quite a bit higher than any of your, of your 3-year average and of any of the last 3 years individually. So I just think there's some room there and in some other operating expense categories.
Okay. I guess in response, I would say, you know, we look at things that we, top three things, service increase, range of computers, that in and of itself is a significant increase to that 1.9 that we're looking at. And what we've asked for improvements or increase has been $72,000. So, you know, $150,000, that in and of itself seems rather steep for things that are just out of our control. If I'm willing to work with the board here, I would ask that it not be as steep as $150,000 cut from what we have. These are unique years, and 3 years, as I mentioned earlier, it's not comparing apples to apples. This is definitely apples to apples. And to try to come back where we are, my concern is the sheriff's office, the safety of the public, and the safety of my personnel, and to have them appropriately trained, equipped, and staffed to a level which provides safety for everyone. I think it's paramount. I appreciate the board position. I know you have much more than just the sheriff's office to look at. You have the entire county, and you guys have a huge, huge task. But as the sheriff, as I stated when we first came in, we will salute smartly and work with the board with whatever they give us. But at the same time, just please consider, we're trying to get through these times as well.
I know, and I appreciate your comments there. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Latifa. You're on the phone, so it'd be easier. No, go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to say, you know, I don't disagree with anything that you're saying, Sheriff. At the same time, I'm also thinking about the four positions that you're also requesting are part of the budget that we just walked through, and the increase that's going to. That if we were to move forward with four new positions, the increase with that alone would create in the budget how we balance all that. Because one major concern that I personally have is how many deputies do you have out on the road at one time? And I know it's kind of the way things are that it's usually just two, but that's alarming for me. And I would like to see three out there at one time. I'm just not sure how we balance all of that. Go ahead, Lisa. Yeah. That was all I was going to say.
No. Sheriff, I would say none of us are. All of us are for ensuring that we've got good public safety and well-trained officers on that. I do applaud you for having a well-trained force. And I do think that has kept situations down because of that. But that is one particular line item that I do. I look at the three-year average, and I look at that $60,000 jump from this year to your proposal for 2023. I know you're looking to try to catch up, but we are still, unfortunately, still in a pandemic. And I still think there are areas that... that you're probably not going to get to the level of training that you'd like just because of the situation that we're currently in. So that's one of the areas that I kind of look at. I looked at too when I've been looking over your budget for the last, you know, several days, and I do appreciate this, Connie. This is helpful, and I hope you do this moving forward.
I will.
As well, because it does kind of lay things out. But I do just, you know, I just do feel that there are some other areas that you've got some significant increases. Percentage increases in, and whether that is really something that would come to fruition. I also know that in past budgets during my time here, that if you've had any challenges with your budget or something becomes unbudgeted, you've usually come to the board, and we've been, you know, open to looking to address those issues. I would have to say an issue of really where the number that Supervisor Merkin put out, I think I was kind of right within that particular range because I was as well. Again, just looking at, we are currently in a pandemic, and just the the percentage of some of these just seem out of, I guess out of whack is just the only word, just seem out of consistency of what your three-year average has been.
Well, hopefully the ones with the big ticket items were able to answer why there was such
a big Sure. And I would concur with Supervisor Basil, if you want us to also consider patrol, whether it's one patrol person or four patrol people you've put on here, that's going to add that additional cost as well. And we've got to take that into consideration with your overall request.
But I would say to that again, I very much appreciate all the board's consideration to this. And you're the ones that have the control over everything but the countywide. I'm here as the sheriff. I don't speak up for any other office or any other entity. I'm just here at the sheriff's office, and I'm the champion of the sheriff's office. So I will do everything I can to get what I can for the sheriff's office so we can provide those services in the safest, most economical fashion possible. Most of all my budget years, the sheriff's office managing our budget, we returned a good portion of our budget to the county. We try to be as fiscally responsible as we can, and we will continue to do that. And at the end of the day, what the board says is our marching orders is our marching orders. So we will move smartly and carry on with what the board says.
Thank you.
Appreciate your understanding the role the supervisors play with the entire county budget. Lisa Markley, did you have any other things that we need to look at? We do need to talk about the request for additional personnel, but did you have any other thoughts?
No.
Lucy, did you have any other thoughts?
Not at this time, thanks.
Okay. So the additional personnel request, should we look at that?
Sure.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
So we need to cut 150. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
I just want to make sure we were on the page.
Yeah, and you can send that to Lisa Markley where you're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to come back to us.
Right.
We don't need a call back or anything. You can just
right.
at least
right.
know
sure
where
I
you want that out
of. The number I need.
Yep.
To
yep.
150,000 from the 19.
Yep.
From the
right.
operating.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm not comfortable with adding four deputies. We added a deputy last year. I can see where you would like to get there. I think it would be great to have three people on all the time, but I think adding, I think this is something you're going to have to do in an incremental fashion. That's my thought is, this is not a supervisor. This is somebody who will be out on the road all the time. That's what these positions are, correct?
Road deputies.
Road deputies. No supervisor or administrative duties out there all the time protecting the public.
We will continue to afford those responsibilities as we have been.
Okay. I could see going one patrol deputy for fiscal 23. But I would really like to see next year what improvements you've been able to make on the coverage with what will then be two more deputies.
Just to throw out there, two now would give us three, at least one for each shift. The current year we have, and then one for second, third shift, and one for fourth. But I don't know what the financial purse strings are, it's budget now, and I know it has a great impact, and then we did discuss the other two in future years, just thought I'd mention it.
I guess I look at too is I think, at least from what I got, I understand the increased patrol that you're doing out in the communities, the Sheldahl area, for example. I think you're really looking at, or at least what I was highlighted more was on the YSS, and we don't have that data quite yet as to mm-hmm. what the volume's going to be. I think that when you come into the budget year next year, we'll have a few months of data of how many calls are you initially going on. Maybe none, you know, might not be till January that you're potentially seeing calls, or maybe they have figured out how to address the individuals who may decide to elope from the facility. You know,
if it's August 23, we really won't know until sometime into fiscal 24,
because right.
they're not going to have 70 people in that facility right away. You know, any new facility.
They could.
I mean, they could. Yeah.
The way society is going, they very well could. I mean, I'm being Debbie Downer here.
Yeah, you can are.
Well, I guess
with COVID and everything else, people are having a lot of mental issues.
Sure, they are.
Well, I mean, there's a rise in that.
I think part of it too is they're looking at not as it's not going to be just Story County. It'll be kind of that regional, or you know, mm-hmm. from within our CICS region, mm-hmm. To have folks. But you still don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, we could have 20 and we could have 70. Yeah.
And you know, there's been a lot of work done with YSS to explain those needs and why it's different out in the unincorporated area. I would really like to see, like I said, you know, a few months before they're opening, when they're starting to hire staff, start to do training plans, I'll knock on their door and say, hey, we need to know now, but we have to remind you, and specifically, what are you doing here? Because we don't want, yeah. There was some good work done in analyzing all those things. Let's not let that good work go to waste by not getting back with them and making sure they're making a plan that's consistent with what they were told and what they said they would do.
Well, I think that I'm gonna speak for sure, but Jerome, he may punch me under the table or something. But also, if there is a problem, you know the length of time it takes to train a deputy. We don't want the other deputies who are working to have that backlog they have to fill. We'd rather be prepared so we don't have a stress on our staff. Because the job is already stressful.
Sure.
So I think that's where we're coming from is let's sure. not try to fix the problem, let's prevent the problem.
Sure. I think that's really one of my bigger concerns is the stress on the staff, the stress on the patrol staff through the pandemic, the length of time it takes to train a new officer coming on. I would feel more comfortable if we were talking about approving two. We are running into more mental health issues, and law enforcement is frequently being called to those issues to respond to those, and we need officers that are not feeling the strain of the work. I mean, they're all going to feel the strain of the work. That I'm not saying it very well. I'm concerned about the mental health of the officers.
I would feel more comfortable if we had had data showing the number, the calls, and that had been given to us ahead of time, so we could have looked at that in conjunction with the request. And so that's why I'm staying with one.
It'd be nice to, from a public safety perspective, for once to be ahead of the curve instead of always trying to play catch up.
Well, I think by adding one last year and one this year and one next year, we're making up for some lost time. You said that there was in 2001?
2001.
So it's been flat since then, and this will be the second one we've added in 2 years.
Well, the second one we've added 2 years.
I wasn't here.
I wasn't here either. So I just
None of us were here.
That I look at the time that
so,
I'm here.
Sorry, Latifa. I'm saying one. I would like to see data. I would like to, you know, and I'd be glad to talk to somebody before the next budget cycle about what kind of data I think is appropriate and important to look at. Yeah, get with me, and we'll have that chat a few months ahead of, you know, maybe in the fall. Because I.
Yeah, sure, anyway. I recognize everything you're saying, Linda. I just wanted to make sure that I spoke.
Sure. And I don't disagree with you that there's needs out there. I'm just trying to equate them with what's the activity that we're responding to.
Right. I would agree. And we're making a lot of future projections on stuff we don't quite know yet.
I'd like to make one more comment before we close, if I could.
Sure.
You've had a lot of staff who have helped me personally and some of my boards and commissions and projects that I've been looking at in the past year. I'm StoryCom. I want to thank Captain Lenny in particular for all the help he did in getting all those surplus radios out to the local fire agencies. And it was his idea when we had some and we still left. It was his idea to say, let's get them to the schools. You mentioned that before. That was a great idea, and they are really glad to have them. I also want to thank Nick Brazino. He's been doing some work. We've been talking about ambulance statistics and things like that, and he's gotten some other statistics for me. We're not sure where we're going with them yet, but that's been very helpful. And everybody in your office is very helpful whenever I ask them for any information to help support my role on any of the boards and commissions about public safety. So I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate you saying that. And the sheriff's office certainly wants you to stand ready to be a partner throughout the county to wherever we can lend a hand. We certainly would.
Yeah, and I also just want to add that I appreciate all the efforts that you've done to mitigate COVID in your jail with or within your office. It has been a long 2 years and going on three. we have. You know, all the times that we've heard, you know, either we've never had any ER case, or we had it, but we jumped on it and it's was taken care of. Very much appreciative for your staff, but for the folks that are housed in the jail as well.
Supervisor Faisal, did you have any last thoughts or comments?
I just want to echo both supervisors and saying thank you for all the work that you and your team do every day. You're the ones that we call no matter what, and you always respond, and that means a lot. And my dogs agree with me in the background. So thank you to all of you for everything that you do.
Thank you all for your comments.
So, thank you.
Anything else?
Just say be safe out driving today. If you have leaving here or heading home or whatever.
It's all good.
Did it?
Yeah.
For now.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.